The following is a 1250 WTMA special presentation.
This is John Quincy, welcoming you to another hour of the history of TMA.
You're someplace special, Charleston. You're someplace special, WTMA.
Today we've been taking a look at Charleston's second oldest radio station, the station you're listening to right now. Since its first official day on the air on June 15th, 1939, there's been a lot of great programming on WTMA.
The Johnson's Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
From the radio dramas, comedies, and variety shows in the early days.
I want to thank everybody who's calling their Uncle Boob, requesting songs. I want to thank you for taking time out for calling your lovely people. Those people calling up requesting that I go home early, wise up.
WTMA. To top 40 music presented by some of the best disc jockeys in the Southeast. Tiger Radio and the mighty TMA has been an integral part of many Charlestonians' lives. In the 1960s and throughout much of the 1970s, WTMA continued to score number one ratings and rake in lots of advertising dollars. However, by the late 70s, WTMA was in trouble. Like many other top 40 stations on the AM dial, WTMA was finding its younger audience dropping off and moving to similar stations on the better sounding FM band. So at the beginning of the 80s, after being acquired by new owners, WTMA's music approach changed to a more adult flavor. It was still contemporary, but it was more like today's Sunny 96.9 than its previous 95SX style format.
WTMA, TJ Griffin and Kim Carnes. Just a little bit more love coming up in just a second. Got a guy that used to do 200 concert dates a year just to pay the bills. But obviously he says he's glad those days are over. 7:13.
All right, sweetheart, let's go with the clunker promo, take one.
WTMA's clunker will soon be driven off by some lucky winner.
What'd you pause
lucky?
For?
Yeah, you want me to say lucky for this? I've seen this card and you want me to say lucky.
You want me to break both your legs?
No problem. Lucky winner. If you haven't registered yet, you have until 3:30 Saturday. Stop by James Oldsmobile and fill out an entry form. WTMA's Paul the Morning Mayor is going to be there Saturday afternoon for the drawing from 12 to 4, along with Howard the Cooper River Bridge Troll. They'll have album giveaways, free cokes, and official Morning Mayor coffee mugs while they last. Beware of the clunker.
Oh, no!
From your number one music station, 1250 WTMA.
T.J. Griffin was one of WTMA's first DJs under the new adult contemporary format.
By the time I had gotten to WTMA, it had obviously seen its much better days. And people who were legendary in the business had already gone through the doors there. The station itself had been humongous and was now crashing down on the days where, you know, it was just as FM was taking over. And as I remember, WCSC, they were still the big dog in town, but WKTM was the battling it out with CSC. And TMA was really lost in the shuffle.
So somehow TMA had lost their focus, and the problem was that people weren't listening to AM radio anymore as much as they used to. They discovered FM.
Yeah, that had pretty much happened nationwide, and it was sweeping into the South at a pretty quick rate at about that time. Just before I'd worked at WTMA, I'd worked at a radio station in Memphis that was another legendary top 40 radio station, and the same thing had been happening in Memphis and Atlanta and you name it, Birmingham, all over the South, and everywhere else. Matter of fact, FM was sweeping in and taking the place of AM radio, especially for top 40 radio. And that's about the time that management had made decisions, something along the lines of, well, we'll go for an adult audience. And it was just a nightmare. It was awful. It was terribly done radio. It didn't really matter at that point if we were going for, you know, left-handed midgets east of the Mississippi or not. We weren't going to get them. But WTMA was just, I don't know, it was kind of in the same, I don't know, boat that so many other great, legendary top 40 radio stations had been in. It had just seen its day as top 40 station, and music wasn't being played on AM stations with any, you know, degree of success at all. And that had all moved to FM by that time. And then, of course, when we put 95SX on the air, that changed the Charleston radioscape completely more dramatically than everything else. WTMA was a tremendous radio station at one point in the top 40 era. And the radio stations in the top 40 era are the stations that, for whatever reason, are going to leave a long trail into the history books. The great thing is that many of those stations have figured out what to do with the second part of their lives. And I was so glad to hear that WTMA had become a great news talk station, because that radio station is just so much a part of the fabric of Charleston, South Carolina, that it would just be a shame if it faded away. What would Charleston be without WTMA? And now that it's a strong, vibrant radio station, I'm just so glad.
And now, once again, CJ and Buzz, CJ and Buzz, CJ.
They're doing what?
Recalling guys in Mr. Q. You certainly must have had a lot to do. And now, the totally refreshed CJ and Buzz.
Mighty TMA. Good morning, CJ and Buzz at 7:10. 10 after 7.
Fog this morning. And possible low-lying flooding this morning.
Be passable if you get through it.
That's right.
42 degrees right now, north side.
In the late 70s, the morning team of CJ and Buzz were quite popular on WCSC AM at 1390 on the dial. In the early 80s, one half of the duo, CJ Jones, was asked to become WTMA's new general manager. And he asked Buzz Bowman to come along for the ride to relaunch CJ and Buzz on 1250 WTMA. We talked to CJ Jones about his time here.
Okay, on the line with us right now is CJ Jones, who worked at WTMA at least two times. Now, the first time you were on WTMA, you weren't CJ Jones.
No, it was Johnny Prince.
And when was this now?
1964.
Was WTMA the first station you worked for?
No, I had worked for a station in college up in the Richmond area, but it was the first full-time job I had.
And do you remember what shift you were working at the time?
Yeah, midday. A guy named Doug Randall did mornings, and I did midday. And Bob Mitchell, who later went to WTIX in New Orleans as PD, did afternoon drive. And I wish I could remember the guy who was on at night. He was really wild, and it's very good, but I don't remember his name.
Okay, who was the program director at the time?
Bob Mitchell.
And how long were you at WTMA?
Not very long, maybe 4 or 5 months. And I was contacted by a fellow named George Weiss, who owned WBBQ in Augusta, and he was changing and looking for a program director, and I had that opportunity and took that, and that was just a real home run and really got my career moving.
And how long were you at BBQ?
About two and a half years, and then went to New Orleans, and then got into sales, and then got into station ownership.
Now, you came back to Charleston when now?
Came back to Charleston in 1975. I had sold two stations in Florida that I had bought, and came back, and an old friend of mine owned what was then WQSN, 1450 AM, a station that later I owned in a company that I formed. And it was really interesting because Doug Randall, who had been doing mornings on TMA when I was there midday, Doug had been the general manager of WQSN just before I arrived, and the owners had made a change and let him go for some reason. And I went in there, and we turned that around economically and rating-wise and got it in a position where they could sell it. About the time all of that was happening and I was thinking about buying it, John Rivers Jr., who was then the president and CEO of WCSC Incorporated, called me and asked to have a meeting, and I went to his home down south abroad and sat and was offered a position of vice president, general manager of WCSC and then WXTC. Later became executive vice president of that company, and I took that, and it was a very good move. Then, you know, it was there quite a while. We developed CJ and Buzz there. Buzz was an announcer who actually left the day I arrived. He had resigned, and he went to Key West for a sabbatical and got rolled by a chick and took all his money, and he called back and wanted to know if he could have his job back. It was a funny conversation. And when he came back, I needed a partner to create a new morning show for a lot of reasons. We'd had some problems with the morning show. And so we did the CJ and Buzz thing, and boy, that thing took off like crazy. Later, we went back to WTMA. When Sconix bought it, we decided that that was a good move, so we went to TMA and had a lot of fun there.
Who did you replace at WCSC?
Gloria Wilson was the general manager of radio and a wonderful woman who stayed with the company and became their human resources director. She had kind of had radio dumped on her by John as they were trying to figure out what to do with it. We had a great success over there. I think WCSC went from number 10 to number 1 in one rating book, and WXTC, their beautiful music station, which had been about number 4, came in number 2 in that rating book. So it exploded. It was just a fun time. CJ and Buzz, you know, we had cartoon characters and big, massive billboards and bus boards, just everywhere. Right? It was well-promoted, and the whole station was, with a great air staff.
At that time, that probably marked the end of WTMA as a powerhouse, because WCSC was...
We knocked them off. It did. And my old friend, Booby Nash, Bob, was funny. He had been made the program director of WTMA about the time that I took over as general manager of WCSC. Bob later told me, he said, I felt like I had earned my stripes. I'd been there for years doing mornings, and finally I was going to be the program director, which meant I didn't have to really worry about a lot of things and wouldn't have to work real hard. And he said, and all of a sudden, you just kicked the you-know-what out of us. And it was funny. Later, shortly after that, we made a deal and hired Booby Nash from TMA, and he joined us on WCSC, and I can remember we made a big deal with a limo picking him up in front of TMA, which just really ticked him off, and drove over to WCSC with a television crew in the car and following, and we showed all that on the evening news, which always got our friendly competitors at the other radio stations upset, because we had Channel 5 and had a great working relationship promotionally. We took advantage of it.
Let's go back to WTMA and back to 1964. What do you remember about working at WTMA during that time?
Well, we were downtown then in the Dock Street Theater upstairs, and I know that we had a mute on the control room and studio monitors. We couldn't turn them up loud enough because we interfered with activities in the theater. And, of course, across the street from there was a beautiful old cemetery. It was kind of a strange setup. Here's this top 40 rock and roll early 60s radio station downtown in the oldest theater in the country, as I recall, right across from a cemetery. It was a little bizarre. Chuck Smith was the owner, and it was two stories. Downstairs were all the offices and the studios were upstairs. Bob Mitchell was a great program director, very innovative, kind of cutting edge for what was happening in those days. And that station just took off, and until WCSC beat it in the ratings years later, remained number one in Charleston for a long, long time. Top 40 was brand new, and as I recall, we were extremely formatted and very tight and very careful and promoted the heck out of it, but with a lot of crazy things. I remember an April Fool's joke that Mitchell pulled, send us your name, address, and telephone number, and we will mail you $100. And the $100 was 100 pieces of paper with a mule on it bucking a can over. Made a lot of people mad, but it got a lot of laughs.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can't do that nowadays. They take your license from you, I think.
What else do you remember about WTMA from those days?
Just a very busy radio station everywhere in the community. Of course, Charleston was so small then compared to now or the in the 70s and 80s because the market exploded. It was a fun place to work. They didn't pay any money. Nobody made any money. In fact, years later, when I was general manager of WTMA for Sconix, we were cleaning out the attic, getting rid of a lot of old things. At the newer building, not downtown, they'd long since moved, and we came across old payroll records, and there were canceled checks made out to me when I made $75 a week.
Let's fast forward now to the second time that you were at WTMA.
Yeah.
You had left WCSC.
Right.
And you had gone directly across the street to WTMA.
Yep.
Working for Sconix.
Right. Randy O'Neill was the partner in town.
What was it like working at WTMA then? What kind of radio station did you enter, and what kind of changes did you make?
Well, I think we entered a station that was in a lot of upheaval. The ratings were bad, and the station had fallen on hard times. Now, it had an FM counterpart, WSSX, 95SX, and it was doing extremely well. So TMA was kind of sitting there and just not functioning, which is why Randy wanted me to come over. And we did more oldies than currents, but it was a current-based with a lot of oldies in it, music-intensive, and just kind of picked up the same thing we were doing at CSC, only repositioned it. Then we did a lot of new things with CJ and Buzz that freshened it, and some really funky jingles, station and morning show-oriented. A lot of interaction with listeners on the air, which was always part of the CJ and Buzz show. TMA, just a great legendary set of call letters, great heritage, and a lot of respect for it.
The winds are calm, seas running less than 1 foot, and the next tide will be high this morning at 9:59. We could see some shallow tidal flooding downtown at that time. Still some patchy, dense fog with the interruptions in all. 42 degrees at Charleston's International Airport, 47 on the harbor.
Somebody
ought to
let him
in. TMA.
He always sleeps. Dadgummit. Come here. Wait. Oh,
see, hey, you want to meet my family?
Oh, boy.
Okay, let's go. Everybody, let's come on into this.
Wait a minute. How
wow.
Hey, isn't this great? I told you. Look at the pretty lights here on the knobs.
Don't touch the knobs.
Come on, people go flying every which way. Who knows what they do? Oh. I don't know. Okay, come on, plenty of room.
This is a tour coming through here.
Come on in now.
A lot
see,
of people.
Hey, I want you to meet my family.
Oh, lovely.
This is my cousin, Roberto Juan.
Roberto
this
Juan.
This is my cousin, Jesus.
Hello, Jesus.
This is Carlotta.
Oh.
As you can see, you can sleep on her belly. Miguel.
Hey, Miguel.
This is my brother-in-law, Pedro McNamara. See, here's McNamara, see? Well, he's Irish twice removed.
Twice?
Do you have any questions? Well, second time for being drunk and disorderly.
Got it. I understand.
Oh, boy.
These are, of course, my probation officers. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, enough of this. Let's everybody be quiet now. Come on, quiet down. Come on.
This is a live radio.
Carlotta, stop it. You got to be quiet now. Okay, we're going to find out what day this is today. We'll see. Hey, there's the drums. It's a Tijuana brass and drum and bugle corps.
Sure it is. Yeah, right.
Here we go. Oh, we're going to start tearing the calendar. Yes, everybody's amazed at the size of the calendar. And today is January 31st, 1983.
Oh, boy. You got the year right. Goodbye, Pedro.
Coming up next, the other half of CJ and Buzz. Buzz Bowman. The history of TMA continues next, right here on 1250 WTMA. Now, the history of TMA continues on 1250 WTMA.
Charleston, someplace special. WTMA.
This hour on the history of TMA, we're cruising through the 1980s. In the early 80s, WTMA had shifted its format from top 40 to adult contemporary in order to hold on to as much of the audience as possible, many of which now preferred to hear their music in stereo on the FM band. Still, WTMA had a better morning show than most of the FMs, in the form of CJ and Buzz.
The Mighty TMA, come on baby, let it be. The Beatles, Solid Gold, 7:41, 19 minutes until 8 o'clock in the morning.
And don't forget, if you send us $40 now, you too can learn how to drive a bulldozer in the privacy of your living room.
What?
That's right. Dial now at 556-1250 and send us $40 in the mail.
And you get what?
You can learn how to drive a bulldozer in the privacy of your living room.
Yeah,
carefully. That's right.
Buzz Bowman recalls his time at the Mighty TMA.
Sconix Broadcasting was in town. Sconix had bought WTMA and 95SX and offered CJ a job there as the operations manager of WTMA. CJ then got in contact with me and asked if I wanted to get the morning show back together again, and handed me a check if I would sign the contract right then and there. He knew exactly how to get to me. Took me a great dinner and a big check, and I said, okay, I'll do it.
So you were still working at WCSC at the time, and you came straight from CSC to TMA?
Yes.
Other than getting back with CJ again, did working at WTMA, did that mean anything to you as far as the station having a tremendous heritage in the market?
Of course,
it had changed a lot since its 60s and 70s glory days. The early 80s are kind of tough on the radio station, as all AM music stations.
Sure.
But, you know, was it kind of a neat thing to be at TMA?
Well, it was an honor. In fact, I was constantly surprised by the number of really good broadcasters that had gone through the doors of TMA at one time or another. A lot of really good talent out there had passed the doors. Some had even been turned down for employment there. It was a top-notch radio station.
Okay, now what kind of help you need, Jerry? Never mind, I know what kind of help you need.
It's a very special person's birthday.
And who might this person be?
Jean Ann Wyatt.
And how old is Jean Ann today?
Oh, Lord. 40.
That old, eh?
It's traumatic. Yeah, God. I need you to help me sing happy birthday to her.
Well, we'd be happy to sing happy birthday to her.
Are you ready?
Ready.
One, two, and a three.
Happy birthday to you.
Wait a minute.
Happy birthday to you.
Let's pick it up.
Happy birthday, dear Jean Ann. Happy birthday.
Would you hang up on...
You big finish.
Hang up. Jeez.
Goodbye, Jerry.
Was the WTMA CJ and Buzz show much different than the CJ and Buzz show at WCSE?
It was a little slicker, a little faster on TMA. We never quite had the same audience that we had. We did it first, but of course FM was coming on strong at that point, and we pretty much got our hats handed to us by 95SX when they came on really powerfully. A morning guy named Steve Cochran, who was a good morning guy, really funny guy, ended up in Chicago, as I remember it. TMA, the morning show we did there, was fun. We just had a really good time with a lot of laughs, grins and giggles, and we all had two-way radios in our vehicles, and so we were constantly, no matter where we were, even the salespeople, if there was an accident or a disturbance, something causing interference with traffic or anything, we'd stop, call in a report. So it was like instant information. We were way ahead of TV at that point. it was really fun to work there. It was exciting. At one point, we tried to build the world's largest ice cream sundae out at Folly Beach. Folly Beach is a very dangerous place for radio announcers. not only did I live there, but I had just purchased a new pair of golf green trousers one day and had a promotion at Folly Beach and was walking down a street, and this lady comes up and grabs me by the pants pocket of my new trousers and says, "Hi, I really like you, and blah, blah, my name is blah, blah." And I said, "Great, I've got to go." And she said, "Oh, no, you're not going anywhere." And she held onto my pants pocket. And I said, "Oh, yes, I am." And I pulled really hard. She didn't let go, and she tore the whole leg off my pants.
Oh, man.
Yes, right there, Center City, Folly Beach.
Just like a rock star.
Right next to the police station. it was pretty wild and crazy.
Now, did you feel the ebb of listeners going from AM to FM during your time there? I mean, could you see the writing on the wall that something's going to happen to this radio station?
Yeah, it was pretty obvious. The popularity of our very own, FM station 95SX at that time just went through the roof. And the AMs got pretty much shut down. Everybody was changing format suddenly, trying to keep their stations afloat. WTMA was like a huge feather in my hat because it was such a great radio station. And very honored to have worked there.
Right now, some patchy dense fog, 42 degrees at Charleston's International Airport, 46 on the harbor, and at the mighty TMA.
Hey, CJ and Buzz.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could I say something in behalf of all the people who don't like football and how it's for sale?
Well, I believe we should hear from your side of the boom tube. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Now that the Super Bowl is done, I don't even care who won. Though I'm sure some people are feeling sad, but not me, I'm glad. The season is over. No more football. Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays too. 6 months of it before it's through. What's a non-football person supposed to do? You'd think the weekend now could be enjoyed by all. But good grief, now comes basketball. Football and basketball, I don't know. So I'll keep listening to my radio. Now as to who the number one team was, as far as I know, it's CJ and Buzz.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. CJ and Buzz. Freeway and Scuzz. CJ and Buzz.
I got some bad news for that lady.
Yeah.
What?
The United States Football League.
Coming up, we'll move to the middle of the 80s and talk to another popular WTMA morning personality, Jay Donovan.
For more about WTMA's past, surf to WTMAmemories.com. For recordings, interviews, pictures, and more, that's WTMAmemories.com. More of the special program, The History of TMA, next on 1250 WTMA.
You are listening to the mighty TMA. You're in tune with the station, in tune with Charleston.
You're in touch with the people in touch with today.
You're in time with the music in time with Charleston. You are listening to the mighty TMA.
You are listening to the History of TMA. With more, here's Charleston radio historian
John Quincy with more memories.
In the mid-80s, Jay Donovan joined WTMA to handle the wake-up show.
1250 TMA, lay your glands on me, that's the Thompson Twins. That's 752.
or 8 before 8 o'clock.
Is that in the lyric sheet? Come on.
Bob's got a look at the traffic this morning.
All right, expect bumper-to-bumper traffic coming across the Wapoo Cup Bridge, so it gives yourself some extra time there. This is TMA Traffic Control.
Thank you, Bob. Just about 6 away from 8 o'clock, 7:54 this morning. A check on the forecast will be coming up, and I got to get an unlisted door. What do you want?
Excusing me, please. You must to Shaba.
We are here to save you from imperialist Yankee kidnapping.
Who are you guys?
We are the KGB.
And we know you have been tortured and put on drugs.
How do you know that?
We have the radio.
We intercept broadcast of your capitalistic program.
So?
To us, it is obvious you are world-class defective.
So we take you back to beloved Mother Russia.
To see your family.
To serve the party.
And to wait in line 6 months for to buy shoes.
Yeah, sounds real tempting, guys. But let me tell you something. You know, I'm an American, see? I love this country. Oh, sure, it's not perfect in every way, but it's good enough for me. And as long as Old Glory flies over the amber ways of grain, and as long as Sports Illustrated puts out its 86 swimsuit calendar, I'm never leaving.
What? Wait! Tell us to see that.
Ooh!
Holy Tusky!
What a set of tractors on this one!
So these are your fine American ski women, huh?
Yep, that's right. This is America.
We defect! Born in the USA!
I'm a KGB defector in the USA!
Watch the door! Just take it easy going out. Get out.
WTMA. Got down there at the beginning of March 1985 and was there till probably about that time in 86. And then I had the good fortune to do, you know, at this time, WSSX FM was in the same building. So just walked up the hallway and had a chance to do mornings there for a year.
Okay, so you were in Charleston for 2 years total.
Yep.
And where exactly were you before you came to WTMA?
I had spent 3 or 4 years in Watertown, which is where I am again, Watertown, New York. You know, one of those, the way it is in the business, somebody knows you that knows the people in Charleston, and they were looking for a morning guy down there at TMA and gave the management at the time my name, and we got together. And that's how we wound up leaving the frozen north country of New York and down into a much warmer and humid place in Charleston, South Carolina for a couple of years.
And who was the program director at the time?
Steve King was calling the shots. I can't really tell you how long Steve had been there before I got there, but he was in place, and Bob Winters was the GM at the time. So I worked for Steve. Good guy.
All right. What was WTMA like on the air when you got here? Was it still doing the AC format?
Yeah, we were still doing adult contemporary stuff, you know, the not too hard, not too soft kind of thing, and playing a lot of music. But, you know, it also had kind of a full service bent to it, at least in the morning, where we had news on about every hour, top of the hour kind of thing. The gentleman I worked with then was Warren Ashmore. We were basically kind of a traditional adult contemporary.
And what was the Jay Donovan show like on WTMA?
You know, I think within the context of doing a lot of music, it was certainly personality. It wasn't just reading liners. We had our personality elements. I would interact with Warren around newscasts. We used product from the American Comedy Network around the breaks. So, you know, 3 or 4 times an hour, whenever it was, we would interject the personality, and then the rest of the time we were just kind of keeping the music going.
Because you demanded to know, this is the ugly truth.
The Lost Village of Wolf Kids. Yeah, it's true. Down in Mexico, there's an entire village of wolf people. We're talking 15 boys and girls and one adult, all of them hairy as Lassie. While searching for an explanation, scientists believe maybe it's a hereditary problem. However, there may be another answer, as nearby residents remember when Lon Chaney Jr. used to vacation there.
Can you prove it didn't happen? Neither can we, and that's why we say this might very well could quite just possibly be the ugly truth.
Once again, here's Jay Donovan. Good morning to all you folks from England, and welcome to Charleston. And I thought, hey, what can we do here at TMA to make them feel just a little bit more at home? And I think, Warren...
I'm afraid to ask.
Yes, I think we've found it.
What the hell are you doing in the bathroom day and night? Why don't you get out of there and give someone else a chance?
Oh, for heaven's sake!
Yeah. Just almost like home, isn't it?
What kind of studio facilities did WTMA have at that time? And maybe talk a little bit about the Orange Grove Road Studios.
It was an interesting series of boxes they'd seemed to put together over the years, you know, growing as they needed to make more room. The TMA studios, when I worked there, were in kind of in the back of the building. We were surrounded by the transmitters. We had the 100,000-watt transmitter for SX around us and our 5,000-watter we had for TMA. But it kind of a traditional radio studio, and it was, you know, stand up. The one unique thing was that they had dual control boards in there, which I think went back to the era when they had the morning crew and their CJ and Buzz. You had facing control boards, and they were the old rotary pot types and cart machines, and kind of a traditional old studio that you might have found in 85. It wasn't exactly high tech. It was an interesting place. I always thought I could never have kids because every time I'd walk down the hallway to go into the studio, there was all that RF from the SX transmitter and from the TMA transmitter. I thought I kept cooking the wigglers, you know. I was never going to have kids because of that. The view out of the TMA studio was, well, you could kind of look out into the parking lot and down Orange Grove Road, as I remember correctly. And out of SX, all you could look out was out into the swamp. I think you could see one of the towers or something, but that was about it. A little limited down there. We were doing music on an AM in an era when AMs were phasing out music and looking for what would eventually become the Limbaughs and the Dr. Laura kind of programming that a lot of them would carry. So there wasn't a lot of great ratings news. You know, you'd kind of compare yourself with the other AMs in the market to see how you were doing. We'd get a rating book at the end of the spring or something for TMA in 85 and want to compare yourself positively to an SX or to the top country station at the time. I think there's a couple of FMs in Charleston at the time playing adult contemporary. So it was tough to compare yourself that way. I always liked the market. You know, I'll tell you, having come from an area and obviously still here now where we get, you know, feet and feet of snow every year, watching the reaction in Charleston, I can remember the one day out of 2 years we actually had snow on the ground. The grass got white for about 2 hours one morning, and they were closing things down like crazy, and it was always a joke to watch it rain and see the traffic conditions on the bridges because folks wouldn't slow down. But, you know, the snow melted. It was there at 8 in the morning and gone at 10, but it was like end of the world kind of stuff. And up here, of course, you know, we see that and we call it a dusting and nobody slows down. It was a great opportunity to come to Charleston, and I, at the time, really wanted to work for Sconix, who owned the place, and we got sold fairly quickly after I got down there, but it was a great learning experience. You know, they forced you to do things there, you know, as you would expect in a bigger market than where I'd come from. They paid a lot more attention to what you did, and you learned a lot of stuff, and then when I moved over to SX, and, you know, they weren't going to be happy with you being mid-pack in the morning. It was a great learning experience. And, you know, geez, it's tough to beat Charleston with the way it looks. You know, the history of the city and all. It is an absolutely beautiful place. So you can work a lot of cities that are pretty dumpy, but Charleston is just a gorgeous area.
WTMA, Charleston.
Next up on the history of TMA, we'll talk to WTMA's final program director during its contemporary music days, Steve King.
You're listening to a special WTMA presentation.
The history of TMA. TMA.
Deep woods are fights, bites for hours, even the mosquito hours.
1250 TMA radar weather. Mostly cloudy tonight. About a 30% chance of showers with a low near 70. Becoming partly cloudy tomorrow. 30% chance of rain again. High about 85. On the water, winds are westerly at 7. Seas are running at about a foot, and the next tide will be high at 944. Currently, we have mostly cloudy skies. 80 at Charleston's International Airport. 81 on the harbor, and at 1250 TMA. And now, here's the old mosquito man himself. Here's Steve King.
Thank you very much, Warren. Every time I think we play the commercial, we should bring out our fly swatter and be set here.
Or our collection of mosquitoes, one or the other.
The history of TMA.
Okay, we've got Steve King, who was a former program director and air personality at WTMA. When exactly, Steve, were you at WTMA?
I started there in late 1984 and actually left in 1987.
Now, what kind of radio station was WTMA when you were there?
WTMA at that time was an adult contemporary station. They actually flipped from a top 40 station to adult contemporary in the early 80s, and we just basically carried on that tradition.
Where were you before you were at WTMA?
I was at WNDE in Indianapolis as an assistant program director, and before that I worked in Philadelphia and also my hometown of Allentown, Pennsylvania.
And where have you been since then?
Oh, boy. you got about 10 minutes. actually, since the mighty TMA, I've been a program director in Flint, Michigan, which at that time was our sister station. And from Flint, Michigan, I went to Indianapolis, also Milwaukee. Was in Austin, Texas, Little Rock, and Raleigh, North Carolina, too.
And what shift did you work at WTMA?
I did afternoon drive. I was on from 3 to 7.
All right. Who else was at WTMA when you were there? What was the station like when you got there?
When I got there, the station was, like I said, we were doing adult contemporary, and I brought in a morning guy by the name of Jay Donovan. And Jay was working in Watertown, New York at the time, and was a very successful morning personality in Watertown. And so I put him on as the morning guy at TMA.
Now, where's Jay now?
He went back to Watertown. He ended up doing TV weather. He got his AMS seal, and that was the last that I had heard where he was at. He was still up there. Because when I hired him, he was like the number one morning guy up there. And he was doing like part-time TV. He was doing like TV news at noon, like the weather guy at noon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was even on the station that they owned, you know, the radio station. And then he came to Charleston. He was down there for a couple of years. And then he went back up to Watertown to do mornings up there again. They gave him a big raise to do it. And then I talked to him when I was in Milwaukee. I don't think he was doing the morning show anymore. I think he was just doing TV. And he was like the main weather guy at like 6 and 11 or something like that. So he got to be kind of like a big TV guy up there. After that, we had Bob Graham. And Bob was a traffic Bob, if I remember right, and did traffic for our station. And so I made him the midday guy from 10 to 3. Then I did the afternoon. And then at night, from 7 to midnight, we had a fellow by the name of Doc Washburn. And he worked until midnight, and then we ran, this shows you how long ago it was, Larry King was the overnight guy on WTMA through the Mutual Network, and we ran John Bohannon America in the morning from 5 to 6 o'clock. That was pretty much the lineup on the station. Bill Quinn was my original night guy on WTMA when I got there. And Bill worked there, I'd say, for 6 months after I got there. Now, here's one for you. Bill Quinn, when he was there for 6 months, and he comes into my office and he says, I'm giving you my 2 weeks notice. And I said, okay. I said, you know, where are you going? I'm going to Philadelphia. And he went and he did nights or overnights at WXTU in Philadelphia doing country.
Oh, yeah. That's where CJ and Buzz went.
Yep. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
So he was up there, and I have lost track of where he's at. I have absolutely no guy. One of the nicest guys in the business, too.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
Always had a suit on. Every time I'd see him, he'd wear a suit. And it's like, where are you going? You just come from church or something? That guy always dressed nice, but yeah. He always had a suit on. It's like, okay.
Hey, it's radio. Nobody can see you.
Yeah, but I mean, he came dressed for the part, I guess.
Well, he was going to be a radio star.
That's right. But he was one of the nicest guys in the business. I knew you would remember him.
All right. What about the weekends?
I don't remember any of the personalities that we really had on the weekend, because I know we all did 6 days. We used to do beach music weekends. I do remember that. And what we call solid gold or old gold weekends, that we played a lot of the oldies at that time. And we ran Super Gold, I think it was, on Saturday night. And we used to have Dick Clark's Rock, Roll, and Remember. I think that was on Sunday, if I remember right. We had a newsroom, and Warren Ashmore was our news director at that time. And Bill Poston worked in our newsroom. Warren did our news in the morning. He was on with Jay Donovan, and he handled the newsroom till about noon or 1 o'clock, right around in there. And then Bill Poston handled the afternoon, and he was my news guy in the afternoon. And at that time, TMA ran news at the top of every hour for 5 minutes. We had an engineer there by the name of Ed.
Oh, the guy with one eye.
That's right. And Ed was the engineer who decided he was going to take readings on the tower that was out there in the swamp. And got out there and would come back and tell us about all the snakes that were out there in the swamp. Do you remember that? And, I mean, he was the most bizarre character I think I had ever met.
Ed told me about his eye. He told me that he'd had a missing eye ever since he was a child. And back in elementary school, kids would give him a quarter to have him pop his glass eye out and show it to him. I said, Ed, I'll give you $1 if you keep it in your head.
Yeah. We had a bizarre crew. I mean, we really did. But I mean, they were all good guys, and that was one of the stories. I can't believe I actually remembered that. That was one of the stories that I remember from TMA back then. That was kind of odd.
What are some of the promotions that you remember doing at WTMA when you were there? Anything special besides music and news and things like that?
Well, we did a $1,000 song of the day. That would pay, I believe it was $100 every time you heard the particular song, and then we paid like $1,000 grand prize. We did that. We used to do things called the Homemaker of the Day, and they won flowers and I believe lunch somewhere from one of the little restaurants downtown. I remember each of the day parts on the station, mornings or middays or afternoons and nights, we would give away different things, you know, during that time. It would be anything from dinners or lunches or nights on the town or whatever. We would do that. And then on the weekends, we used to give away, like, record albums and, you know, and stuff like that. I remember doing things like that.
All right. Why did you leave WTMA?
I left WTMA because WTMA changed. WTMA at that time, when I left, went, I think it was all satellite. I think they became country. I left there, and I went to our sister station, WCRZ and WKMF in Flint, Michigan, and became the operations manager at that point.
Were you all doing something called Rock and Soul?
You're right. We did a thing called Rock and Soul. TMA at that time, about 86 or late 85, a lot of the FMs came on the market. You know, Adult Contemporary, which was what we were doing, was really having a hard time struggling on AM. And we lost a lot of our audience to the FM stations. So we had to try and come up with something that would be a little unique. So we decided to come up with a thing called Classic Rock, Roll, and Soul. It was kind of a combination of some R&B and soul oldies mixed in with kind of the classic rock and roll, Elvis Presley, and so on and so forth. And we did that for, I guess it was about 6 or 7 months. It was right along that time until we could figure out what we were going to do with TMA at that time. And actually, the format worked. It did quite well and gave PAL a little run. And I was really happy about that. It was just kind of a shot in the dark of trying to do something with the radio station. So we did that, I want to say, for 6 or 7 months, if I remember right. Maybe it was even longer than that.
And then what happened with the format change? Was it new owners, or were they tired of putting money into live people that they went automated?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what it was. It was the current owners at the time were, you know, looking at it and saying, wow, you know, we kind of run our game plan out with what we were going to do with the station doing a music format. So I think they just went for the cheapest road out.
I guess everybody was laid off at that time, huh?
Yeah, at that time, everybody was. I don't know what happened to Warren. I would love to know. One of the nicest guys I worked with, Bill Poston, my news guy, I know at the time, went back to college.
Do you remember what the end was like at the radio station?
That was pretty sad. You know, I can tell you that much.
How did they handle it?
Well, I believe the station changed on the 1st of January, that we just kind of played it out until the end, and, you know, I had to let the guys go. We let them go early, and, you know, some of the guys left, and I never replaced them. We just kind of did long shifts and everything. I knew that I was going to end up in Flint, so, you know, it wasn't so bad for me. You know, my memories of TMA were really good. I mean, it was great being in that little building on Orange Grove Road. We had a really great staff at that time. We also had a tremendous air sound on that radio station. And it was just great to know that, you know, a lot of great heritage was in that radio station as a top 40 station.
1250 TMA. Got one for West Ashley now. It's the latest from Don Henley, and There's Not Enough Love in the World from TMA.
1250, the best music, WTMA.
In 1987, things seemed bleak in the hallways at the TMA Orange Grove Road studios. All of the great DJs and news people had been let go. The contemporary music was gone, replaced by a satellite feed of country music hosted by disc jockeys hundreds of miles away from Charleston. WTMA's ratings plummeted to practically nothing. Could anything put the once proud radio station back on the radios of thousands of Charlestonians? Yep. And that one thing was a hot new format called Talk Radio with its rising star.
W.
Rush Limbaugh, TMA.
In June of 1989, 50 years from WTMA's original sign-on, the country music plug was pulled, and TMA began its ascent towards the top of the ratings. And on September 21st, 1989, the station got an increase in audience that millions of promotional dollars couldn't buy, thanks to Hurricane Hugo. That story coming up on a future installment of the History of TMA.
Get the news first, always on
WTMA, Mighty TMA. Talk Radio 1250, WTMA, Charleston.
Our thanks to T.J. Griffin, C.J. Jones, Buzz Bowman, Jay Donovan, and Steve King for their memories of the mighty TMA in the 80s. If you'd like to know more about WTMA's history, surf to WTMAmemories.com. You'll find photos, stories, and historical, and sometimes hysterical, audio recordings. That's WTMAmemories.com. I'm John Quincy, hoping you'll keep it here on the station that continues to make history, as well as report it. 1250 WTMA.